The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
This is the way this is the way the show, which meant the show. This is the way Cthulhu Chronicles used to start more than 15, 16 years ago. There was just me coming on right after, and I forget who I was on, who was on before me. See, I'm always listening to myself. Put that sentence together quite nicely. But in any event, in all events, and certainly this event, you're listening to Y2K plus 18, me, Frank Cthulhu, man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is the way I started the show. And I'm going to give you another way it started and then I'm going to come back live. For those of you who aren't listening on a live stream, then you'll be hearing me. I'm live, though, no matter what. And then I'm going to come back. We'll talk a little, and I'll tell you exactly why you're hearing what you're hearing. As I promised, going way back, I'm going to be doing this here and there, and then we're going to come forward. Well, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, listen to this guy.
Any portion of this program may be duplicated and freely distributed throughout the world. Permission is granted to share all data electronically over the internet or by mechanical means. Feel free to enjoy it and to think freely as you do. Although this program will have no tangible effect on everyday life on Earth, its implications for science, philosophy, and even religion are profound. This is SRN, the Spirit of South York. SRN 1, the YKX Network. Proud to present you the following program, here and only here, except for a few other places where it might exist. And it's brought to you, of course, as, even though this is a global economy and this is a global community, thank God for Canada. God save the Queen. God save Canada. Canada brings you, if it weren't for the machines in the wonderful country of Canada, would this program even be here? We doubt it very much. SRN, the Spirit of South York, taking the spirit and sending it out through the airwaves, the zero waves, the one waves, the new technology, bringing it to you and your family and friends and enemies. So let us all stand and salute! SRN, the Spirit of South York, and the great country of Canada, once again, combine and conspire to bring you Cthulhu Chronicles on this, let us slate it, this wonderful, wonderful May of Y2K plus 7. It is May 17th, and we are about to take you on a monkey-piloted rocket ship to the moon. Pow, pow, pow.
The way it started 10 years ago, almost to the day.
You betcha.
What? Hey, there's me. There's me. How the wonders of technology.
No seatbelts needed.
No, not at all. What else did he do?
Just put your helmet on. You never know. Got to protect your head as we move on.
Uh-huh.
Let's go. Start your engines, gentlemen and ladies. Here we go. Time to go. Tell them about it, babe.
Cthulhu Chronicles. In your face and on the air. And that's just the way it should be.
Yeah. That's one start. Here's another. Used to call it a program 10 years before we got smart. My name is Frank Cthulhu, man whose name adorns the title of the show. In and out of the time machine, we will be going. I'll be explaining what we're doing and why we're doing it. email out like we need a reason. We don't. But we are here. And this is not the 17th of May, 2007. It's 11 years later, isn't it? No, that's 10. 10, that's a decade. So it is that we will give you pieces of the past. Because we've listened to our audiences throughout the years, and we're bringing back some of the things they want to hear and want others to hear, because others didn't know we were here. A lot of hears. Hear, hear! It's okay with me. It's okay with you. You're going to love it. This is already received great acclaim when we do this, because and it took a lot to do it too. We got to go into the archives. Not easy. Stay with us. You're gonna enjoy this. If you don't, turn it off. That's all. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. The show used to start like that when we called it a program. I stopped calling it a program along the way. But this is not about the history of the show. Not at all. Going back and playing some of these things that people want to hear, because they inform me. They get in touch with me. They see me on the street. They say, Frank, remember that show where you did this or that? Let's hear that again. The only way to do that, because these shows were never scripted, they were never even thought about before the microphone got turned on. And so we had to go back and find them. You know, there's a blog that goes way back, not completely back to the beginning of this show, because you have to remember, we were on longer than this show was available to many, many people, even though everybody had broadband. Everybody didn't have broadband. When broadband came about, people had to get it. So, and that took a while. And it was, when it was catching on, the show actually caught on internationally before it caught on in America. And it's remained more popular everywhere else but Canada and America. No, Canada's going, it's Canada, America. But, you know, that's just the way that stuff happened to get in to the beat. That was just the beat of that show, the rhythm of it. Point I'm making? I don't have a point to make. Here's the point I'm making. So it turns out that I'm getting requests for this show I did, this show, in the 17th of May. That's what he was talking about. It's great how I could talk about myself as someone else, right? Him, the Francatolo of then. 17th of May, 2007. And it was remarkable in 2007. We were going, oh my goodness, we're into 2007 already. We're in the first decade of the new millennium. That was then. This is now. But you're going to get confused as it goes back and forth. But you will hear references to things that, you know, aren't happening now. Not that I am always or ever do things that are so topical that you can throw this thing away. It's not like new shows and shows that have topics that deal with current things. You just throw this, can't throw them away, you know. We do mention stuff and we talk about, but we don't talk about those areas that everybody else talks about. So anyway, someone said, remember the roller derby moms? And I've mentioned this. You've heard me say this before on this year's show. When it was on, because we had some trouble and lost some shows, blah, blah. And I said, you're going to do the Roller Derby Moms show. People asked for it. And when? Right? And then I realized it's International Women's Day. As I am recording this and streaming it live, when you hear it on the rebound, some other great internet stations and availabilities like Juice Talk, you will go, it's not. You'll go, no, Frank, it's not internet. Oh, okay. And I said, that's a perfect day, since we're on that day, to play the Roller Derby Moms show from May 2007. And so here we're going to do it. Now that was the intro I did that when I was knocking off the present and going back into the past. So I was, who was Mr. Peabody? The dog? The Wayback Machine. So we're going to go into the Wayback Machine. Wayback. And it's stupid, but it's funny, right? The Wayback Machine. And you're going to hear all the talk. Now, the roller derby thing comes into another one of those, you know, memory-fueled stories that have to do with my growing up, because that's when I knew about this stuff. And then it, or before that, I don't know, I don't remember much, the roller derby of 2007, because it was 2007, that's what prompted the discussion, which is not a discussion because it's just me. There's no one else. Now, it's not just me. Here's what happened. I didn't realize this until I briefly skipped through the show, the file, and I went, well, there's a bunch of phone calls at the end. When in those days, in 2007, we had the Yakahama Hamayaka, whatever it was, a special machine that was being tested. So we had a real phone. We didn't have Skype in those days. So we had this real phone hookup. I don't know why we don't do that. I guess we can't. We probably get a lot more guests that way, but, you know, do we want a lot more guests? No, we only like the ones we have anyway. So a couple of things I wanted to mention was that. were those things. So the phone calls, and I don't remember how, I just said, oh, there's some phone calls here. So we had some fun with some people on the phone live at that time of the night. And we're going to play those too. Then I'm going to come back and we'll talk about this, that, or the other thing. You might hear some, I don't know, advertisements or what have you. You can, I don't know if any of that stuff exists anymore. We did have some advertisings. Advertisings? My name is Frank Cotola, the man who named Adorn, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, Cotola Chronicles. On this 8th day of March, Y2K plus 18. Don't have a lot more to say now. I want to get into this thing because it goes well over an hour and somewhat. But I will tell you, what am I going to tell you? I'm going to tell you, I don't know what else is happening this March into May today. Wait, it's the only the 8th. So we've got a bunch of weeks. I don't have the calendar in front of me. I should have a calendar in front of me. And then we're going to have some guests. And I'm just bumbling along here because the roller derby moms. I also have one from, I was sad to find out, and I don't know what, why or if I'm wrong, but these particular recordings of the show only go back to 2006. And, I have some shows in 2005 I wanted to play again, but I can't find them. Now, if I can find them, I will. I did find the Gerald Edelman Brain Show. I'm requesting this one. This was a great show about Dr. Gerald Edelman and his explorations into the human brain. That's going to be good. That's 6? Did I say 6 or 7? I don't know. We don't go back to 6 or 7. Yeah, we don't go back to 5. Do we go back to 6? I don't know. I'm not going to look now anyway. But there's that. We do have Rory Flynn. I think I'll play that one again one of these days. Because someone said, didn't you have Errol Flynn's daughter on the show once? Yes, she had written a book. And there it was that. And a couple of other things. What else here? Alan Watts' son, Mark. That would be in May 2006. and we can go to, even, you know, even if we play, it's us, me and my staff, yeah. Even if we play shows from like 2000, what, 6, 7, 12. God, that's 6 years ago. What's with me and math, huh? My son is great. My son Ray can just, he sees numbers. He's kind of like that Rayman guy, Rain Man, yeah. He could see numbers. He does math so quickly in his head. I can't do it in my head. So many things I can do, they have to just be done. I don't see these things, yeah. So there's a bunch of shows that we could do there. I'm still looking for various other ones, and I'm really afraid that we don't have the ones that are absolutely favorites. I do think we have, I gotta look at the two clowns shot dead in a circus. At the circus. You see, they don't have titles. I didn't tag them. I didn't do anything except broadcast shows for like near on 20 years. So there's that. The Frank Sinatra, I remember the Frank Sinatra porn site show. That was kook. That was a kooky one. Because we used to do a lot of things. You have to remember, you don't have to, but I think it would be good if you did, that this show, through the years, and I don't mind patting myself on the back for this, has done things and gone into areas that relate to the internet in many ways, not just pop culturally, but in areas that affected everyone. Look at the email thing. If I could find, and I don't think it's available, the show that broke the story of the Nigerian email scam, that scam, if I could find that, it would be terrific. We did a stream of shows where we led someone on, and I read all the emails. But anyway, if you can remember a show, or if you think I did a show and you've never heard it based on some topic, then write to me. My mailbox does have room for emails from listeners. fcatolo@yahoo.com. I'm the only one who goes there. And you get lots of stuff there. I share it with my personal email. So there's that. So you see, you can think, like, say, hey, Frank, did you ever do one on, you just mentioned gorillas? Yes. I think we did one on the Tootsie, whatever her name is, the talking gorilla. What, a Tootsie? And what, you know, the first name that comes to my mind. See? Some people really hate that about me. But I'm not here to make people like me. So there's that. I will tell you this one. Speaking of liking people, coming up, if you're listening to the live stream of Cthulhu Chronicles, even though we're going into the Wayback Machine, and I'll borrow that. I'll just steal it. I gave credit to Jay Ward and Mr. Peabody people. If you're listening to the live stream here, then you will want to stay listening when I finally tell you that there's no more I'm going to tell you tonight, today or this afternoon. No, tonight, because it's only available on the live stream. Unless you have a station, unless you're listening on a station that isn't the live stream, but also carries the show that follows me live. Which is, of course, Savino Veritas. Tom Savino? I'd love to do that because I love to see it on the scope. I love the shapes that my sounds make. My sounds being my voice. Okay, I'm sorry. I have to amuse myself. So, Savino Veritas is on right after this. Stay with it. If you're listening to another station like True Talk Radio, don't forget True Talk Radio. I mean, twice a day on weekdays, Cthulhu Chronicles? How could you say you missed anything? And I want to tell you this too. If you, you know, you can get all the recent shows. So when you're making requests, don't request like, well, I didn't hear like 2 weeks ago and I heard it was good. Because you can get those shows on the archive site juicedtalk.com. You can get those shows. Download them, listen to them yourself, put them on, no, no iPods. I guess people put phones. Does anyone have an iPod anymore? Does anybody? I don't know. The people have things in their ears, things, buds. They call them earbuds because they're no longer your phones. It's a bud. People have earbuds walking around with on their phone. It, no longer does anyone just carrying around a device that does one thing, which is what iPod did, just played files, right? Couldn't make a call on it. Couldn't check the weather on it. You couldn't watch TV on it. Couldn't watch videos at YouTube, iTube, this tube, Vimeo, Vadio, iVideo, you, whatever. You couldn't chat. You couldn't kick. Couldn't send GIFs or emoticons. Couldn't do anything. It all came down to one device. But back in those days, you didn't. So however you're listening, you can get it at juicedtalk.com. There's other shows there too, including Savino Veritas. The Artist D shows are there. So you can get a bunch of stuff that you can listen to, put them on your phone. And then don't worry about, you know, we compress these shows. We do them in wave. And believe me, people, you know, this is just sounds like this is AM radio value. That's just the way I did it from the beginning. And I don't care to make the production any more, cleaner or smoother. This is just the way it goes. So you can listen to this, download it, and the other shows that are on there. Some of them are cooler. Savino's show has a lot of editing and wonderful production, which always shocked me because I was, when I was involved with Mr. Savino in art, I get music, art, and, you know, music, broadcasting, whatever, all the things I was in. He was not the proficient technical guy. And, yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, we made, like, major recordings together in the days when, you know, it was all analog. But he really picked up this digital thing. And has become a great producer. So when you listen, you hear tons of things and live. And he does great shows live too. He'll have guests. So there's that. What am I going to do? I'm going to turn you on to the, it's International Women's Day, the perfect day to be me. I don't mean, no, it's the perfect day for us to go back to 2007 to the roller derby moms. I just have to find, now that I started, I just have to find where I, let's see where it was, what? Oh, that's 36 minutes. No, we don't want to do 19 minutes. Let's see where this thing, started. Here! Let's go back! Here we go. I'll be back live. Here I am. Enjoy. Turn that off for a second. I'm going, where am I? Where am I in this? I didn't talk the entire theme? No, not when you put on the wrong... when you put on the...
Any portion of this...
I know, there, I hear you now. When you put on the wrong tie... well, you have to hear it again. You don't get to hear that any other show. I don't think that's played anywhere else unless you listen to where I borrowed it from a long time ago. So let me find... 9 minutes? No, not 9 minutes and 22. Who is this?
I will be your carnival. Come on, a night filled with danger, drama, and declaration is ahead.
Here we go. That's him. Okay, now enjoy. He's back. I'm such an idiot sometimes.
Finally, a home for the raconteurs, provocateurs, and all of the musketeers right here. So come on in, wherever you are, get comfortable, because wherever you are with me, and together we shall do what no others will do. That's right. Remember, tonight we're bigger than U.S. Steel. To ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. It's you, it's me, and he makes three. So let's do it like we do it when we do it. Isn't there a romance in the air? I think there is. There always is. Romance, not just romance. I love you, you love me. I'm talking about adventure. The adventure of the mind, the adventure of the soul, the adventure of your blood coagulating to keep your body going. Remember, the same thing keeping you alive is the same thing that's keeping that dirty rat carrying the plague alive. So once again, it's night. Wake up. Everywhere on Earth, it's night sometime, and you know, it's always Thursday. It's Y2K plus 7, the seventh season of the new millennium. Aren't you happy to be here? Happiness is the emotion that we need. So grab it when you get it, you sunburnt sickleman. It's time once again. We don't have any guests this evening, unless you count the people who will be, mysteriously called, should I be able to do it. We're going to have some fun on the phones tonight, I believe, but I have some topics that I have to cover, and I just have to. If I don't, I won't sleep for days, maybe even an hour or two. So let's get to it. This is Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. I love those notes. My name is the name of the man who's adorned the title of the thing at the end of the show. It's going to be... I don't know what it's going to be. You be the judge. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to stand here and say, it is a great show. We're going to have a great show. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be fun. It's going to be educational. Whatever you get out of this, you get out of this. If you get nothing out of this, then don't you worry. I don't think there's... You know, you've got to get something out of everything. There are things you think you don't, but you do. We'll talk more about that if I remember, too. Come on in. Wake up. It's night. By real quickly, and it's made bearable only by the fact that you will be spending your time here with me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Come on in. So like I was saying, and I think it's the God's honest truth, or as we say once in a while, the GHT, everybody in the new technology frame of mind, using the letters instead of the words. It's a screwed up, whacked up, whacked crazy bunch of things going on in terms of communication these days. If you really think about it, and I want you to really think about it, we're having communication here right now. You and me communicating over this machine with the zeros and ones. God's honest truth, GHT. So now you're supposed to have to say them. You're supposed to have to understand when people just tell you the letters. I think that's where it came from, the ADD, right? And I don't know why they don't call it AD, but AIDS they pronounce. We've gone through this here before. But let's not get directly into the conversation, the news, the information, and the insubordination. We've got a lot of it for you on this evening. Y2K plus 7, right here, Cotolo Chronicles. May 17th, smack dab, a little bit, no, not smack dab. We're 2 days, well, wait a second. How many days? 30 days, that's September, April, June, and November. I mean, there's 31 days. Do you still do things like that? I swear to you, and this is the GHT. I swear to you, I still do things like that. Because when I grew up in the analog world, and those of us who grew up in the analog world, we're still counting, we're still using fingers and things and stuff. No matter what, we don't have this digital frame of mind where things just pop up. You know, answers pop up, refresh. Don't you wish you had a little thing, a little button in your head, or you could just poke your eye and refresh the way you refresh a browser? Don't you wish your face sometimes and your whole consciousness was a browser? A browser. You know, that indicates, even as I think of it right now, calling it a browser means, it doesn't just indicate, it means it is defined as just being something that looks around lightly. Definitely doesn't peruse. If you browse, you do not peruse. A lot of people confuse, even though it rhymes with peruse, I don't want to get these rhymes, I'm not rhyming, this is not a poem. A lot of people confuse the meaning of browse and peruse. Peruse is not to browse. Peruse is to look at something with extreme intensity and focus. Okay? People say, just peruse that thing. And people say, well, that means just browse. That's why a browser is not called a peruser. You are the user of the browser, but you decide whether you're going to peruse on the browser. If you peruse on the browser, you're not browsing. Did you quite understand that? Because it makes a whole lot of sense. No matter how many doors of your brain are closed right now, it makes a lot of sense. And we'll get back to a lot of the stuff that makes a lot of sense. But what I was saying, and what I want to say before I just give you this little opening jazz that I do, is that no matter what you're listening to, you get something out of it. No matter what you're doing, you get something out of it. This whole idea of being bored or something being a waste of time is nuts. I'm thinking about that. You know, myself, when I'm watching a bad movie, and I mean a really bad movie, and I'm saying, oh my God, am I going to sit through the next hour of this movie? Let's say it's already tanked, my consciousness, my attention is already tanked in a half hour. Am I going to sit here? What do I have to gain by watching the last hour of this movie? Right? And even though I say, no, I'm not, I don't want to give this hour of my life to this movie. Because it's useless. That's not true. That is not true. It's not true on a spiritual level, and it's not true on a real level. Because on a real level, there's no way that your brain stops absorbing. There's no way that your brain stops thinking. Okay, unless you're in complete and complete, I guess is the word, unless you are meditating. At the highest level. Are there levels of meditation? No. And there's meditation where you're on now, you're onto that, focused onto that one thing that just makes everything else sound like static and gives you the sense of oneness and feeling and it takes you away from thought and intellect and all that stuff. And unless you're there, and even then your brain is working, you know, you're just trying to control the level of noise that goes on. Because the level of noise that goes on in your head is a biblical proportions. It's one of the reasons where these doors open up and close and open up and close. All right. So there's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that you can't listen to, watch, do. Do, I guess, would be, it's a small word, but it's got a powerful definition. Do, act, behave, it means action. Do, do, action. Okay? So whatever it is, input, it's happening. You're absorbing, even if you don't know it. And I say know it, I mean even if you're not conscious of doing the things. Because your brain is always working beyond your beyond what you know, and beyond the speed, and beyond the technical ability that you think it is, it's working. Your brain is smarter than you are. That's what I'm trying to say. Welcome, everyone. Y2K plus 7. This is the big remix. Wake up, it's night. Hello to all my neo-postmodernists. You know who you are, and you know what it's all about. I'm Frank Cotolo. I'm not leading you anywhere. I'm not taking you anywhere. I'm not guiding you anywhere. I'm here with you now. Whether you're listening to this program as I do it, which would be live, we do the show live, and it's recorded, and it pops up on many other radio outlets. And, of course, it is available as a podcast. And, of course, you could hear it at MySpace, Frank's MySpace, Frank. MySpace.com/FRMICO. M-I-C-O or M-I? FRMICO. You can get it there. And you can get it there shortly, too. It doesn't take us long. The metamorphosis of... Oh, wow. Yes, you know what that is? You know what's coming up? You know what that is that's stopping me? I'm taking the breaths. I'm doing what I have to do. I was taught how to sing the correct way, so I know how to use my nose and the air. I know how to take care of the air. I know how to breathe. You don't have to hear me breathe. I know how it goes through. I know how to put. I know how to take it and put it into, and so that the whole of, you know, the whole of the lungs fill up. Most of us have problems with our lungs as time goes on because we only use the top part of our lungs. Because we breathe through our mouths, and the top part of our lungs gets overworked. If your stomach's expanding when you're breathing through your nose, you're taking in air. Whoopee! Wake up. It's night. So you'll be hearing, and this is why I think the best thing for you to do when you have your Cotolo Chronicles notebook, you know, you don't have to call it Cotolo Chronicles notebook. I'm just saying that so you categorize it. You don't have to call it the Cotolo Chronicles notebook. For God's sake, call it anything. If your name is Joe Benson, call it Joe Benson's notebook. I don't care. If your name is Sedwick Trial Date, then it's Sedwick Trial Date's notebook. I don't care. Use whatever you have to do. Okay? Call it whatever you want. Call it nothing. But please, get one of those Mead composition books. Not college ruled, wide ruled, and write, print, whatever you do. Okay? Yeah, don't you love these people who write and then they can't understand their own handwriting? What the hell is that? What the hell is that? You'd think they would improve their handwriting so that they could understand it. Why make notes to yourself if you can't read them? Just one of the many mysteries of life, which continue. There's another thing you don't hear on other or broadcasts. You don't hear the paper. This doesn't mean I have a script. I don't have a script. What this says right here is what I'm going to tell you about next. Oh, I told you about the MySpace, of course. Cotolo.podomatic.com. And, of course, every day of your life, as you're browsing, you may want to use your browser to go to a page, a blog, a weblog, a page where you can peruse. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com is where you can peruse. I take you places there. Usually don't have the meat of what I'm talking about there. You may, there'll be links. You go somewhere else. It's kind of like tags. It's a great movement. It's a movable feast, as Ernest Hemingway called life, a movable feast. And a great movable feast, the internet is, which is a bad sentence because it ended with is. The internet is a movable feast. And tags and links take you other places. That's why I have a browser, okay? But remember that if all you're doing is browsing, and you're not always browsing, see, you're conscious. This is what I'm talking about consciously. If you're consciously browsing through life, maybe there's a lot less stress. I don't know. Because I'm not a browser. Okay? I'm a peruser. I'm a peruser. Remember that Beatles song? I'm a peruser. And I'm not what I appear to be. And to be a neo-postmodernist, you have to be able to see, hear, think and understand everything that's going on. You know what I'm doing right now? No, you don't know, because this is not a webcast. There's a moth. There are big moths. There's a little moth who may grow into a big moth and become a problem here with all this equipment. Because, you know, that's how the whole term bugged and debugged from computers came about, because there actually was a bug in a computer once that screwed up. And now he had a little moth. Oh, he got a little. Is that your son? Like, he's going to answer me. Ever talk to something? He's going to answer me. Wake up, it's night. You know about the blog. You know about the podcast. You know this is the Hallelujah Trail. There are no guests on this program. It's Y2K plus 7, May 17th program of Cotolo Chronicles. So I don't have no idea what we're going to title this program when it pops up at podcast, Podomatic. Oh, wow. Podcast. There are 10 million, if there are one, or one, if there is one website that you can browse or peruse that has podcasts, there must be 10 million now. I don't know when this thing is going to peak or when it's going to hit the wall, but it is going to hit the wall. This podcasting thing is going to hit the wall. It's going to hit the wall, I'll tell you, and it's going to hit the wall because there's just going to be too much. You know, there is such a thing as boundaries for the mind to be able to cope with. Now, that's because, as I said, we're not using all of our brain, all of our mind. It's using itself, and we're not conscious of it. But if you go to a store that has too many things, let's say that suddenly every store had everything, okay? You no longer had to go to a hardware store to get tools and things for that nature. You had to no longer go to a grocery store to get food. And grocery stores, of course, have many things, right? But you rarely go to a grocery store to buy a magazine, even though they have magazines. You don't go to a grocery store to buy electric cords, specifically. You don't go to a grocery store to buy dishes, specifically. But if you're shopping for groceries, you may decide while you're there to pick up a piece of hardware, a tool, or an electric wire. Am I not correct? I am correct. See, but if every store had everything, imagine just going to the store, and the store has everything. So nobody says, oh my God, I need one of those air filters for the engine in my car. Well, just go to the store. So you go to the store, and you go to the store, and you go to the department, because the store has many departments. Suppose the store didn't have departments. Suppose there was a store that sold everything. Every store sold everything, and everything was categorized, let's say, in alphabetical order. So then everything filters would be down the same aisle. And what an aisle this would be, huh? This store carries everything you could think of. Filters would also have refrigerators. No, that would be refrigerators. What else would be down the, oh, wait a second. Or would it be an air filter or an engine filter? In which case it would be under E. Car engine filter. Would it be under C for car? That means there would be cars there, because you could buy cars if they sell everything. Imagine if they sold cars in the same store where they sold pants. And you could go in there, and there's no such thing as the Gap now. There's no money. You know, there's just a place where you go to aisle P, get pants, and then go back to aisle C and take a look at the new cars that are out. The new Chevys are out. That's in the car aisle. There's a town called Car Aisle here in Pennsylvania. It's north of here, but and you can get there by automobile. And there are stores there, but they're not stores that sell everything. So what I'm trying to say to you, in a metaphoric, allegorical, whatever it is. What I'm trying to say to you is that we cordon, and fence off these things and group things and put things in categories, genres, and stuff like that, so that we don't overload. This is not just too much. So now let's say, like today I was in that Fry. I think it's Fry. Fry is the name of a stereo place. It's not a stereo place. I'm sorry. DVDs, CDs, anything with the... Then they're we have the letters again. Nobody says compact discs. Can I have the store where you can buy compact discs? And someone goes, what's that? I mean CDs. Oh, you want a CD? Why didn't you say so? I did. I said compact discs. That's what it's called. But nobody knows what it's called. It's a CD. So I'm in this Fry place, and I love going in there. and saying things like, they say, can I help you? And I say to the people at the store, FYE is the name of the store, FYE. And I say to them, I say, yes, I've been to Fee, Fo, and Fum, but I can't find what I'm looking for. So I came to FYE. And they went, what? I went to Fee, I couldn't find it. I went to Fo, I couldn't find it. I went to Fum, I couldn't find it. This leaves me with only one place I can go to, FYE. And the kid, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, I don't know, he's in a consciousness of digital consciousness. And he's talking to me, Frank Catalo, 57-year-old man. He don't know what I'm talking about. This, I might as well be saying, Sang Tao, Ting Ting Tai Lai, Ting Tao. Because he don't understand it. Maybe even understands that better. See, because I'm referring to, that's right there as a reference. He has to have in his head. He has to know. In order to get that joke, he has to know. His consciousness has to be able to go into the file where there's a fictional character who's a giant. That giant who appears in the story Jack and the Beanstalk and says, Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. And without that reference, this kid doesn't know what I'm saying when I'm at the store, Fi. So when I say to him, I've been to Fee, Fo, and Fum, and I can't find what I want, so I came to Fi. One person so far has gotten that joke. And it's not even a joke. It's just an abstract thought. As if there's because what I'm saying to him is that there's a store called Fi. There must be a store called Fee, Fo, and Fum. Making up the quartet of stores we know as Fee, Fi, Fo, and Fum. Do you do these things? I do these things in life. I live my life as a neo-postmodernist, and I always have. I take the thoughts. Here's another thing someone said to me. Someone said to me today, I'll tell you who it was. It was Frank the Barber. I go see Frank the Barber, and I'll tell you why I like to see Frank the Barber. I love to see Frank the Barber because he's a regular guy. He's in a little shop that has barber seats. You know those seats? I'm not talking stylistic here. I'm talking about a guy with a pot belly, graying beard. He's a little older than I am. Not much. He's from my tribe. And he's a barber. And he cuts hair. This morning, when I went there, and he's usually by himself, he has a kid. And this is a sitcom waiting to happen, isn't it? He has this young guy with the hair sticking up because he skateboards. You know, he's one of that generation. And this is the kid who winds up cutting my hair. But I love going to this place because they have a barber pole outside. When was the last time anybody saw a barber pole? The pole with the red stripes, white, and the red stripes that are moving. I don't know if this guy got moving it. And his store is off. It's not on the main strip. It's in his house. It's in his basement. But his basement is street level because his garage is street level. That's what it is, yeah. Very strange how some houses are built. So anyway, I love going. And Frank says to me at one point, he says, how's the writing going? You know, this, that, and the other thing. Fine, you know, blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. And he says, do you write fiction? And I said, Frank, it's all fiction. Huh? It's all fiction. And Frank got it. He did. He got it. He went, wow, you're right. It's like, what does it matter? What's nonfiction? Truth? He says, well, I'm thinking of truth. He said, I'm searching for truth. And he's just saying that, you know, because he's talking to a writer. So he's just, you know, half the time you don't know Frank is. And so here's Frank talking to Frank and two Franks talking. Man, that's, you know, bring in the beans. You got. And so he knows and I know what I'm saying to him. But he says, he goes, yeah, I'm searching for truth. And I, you know. So I said, well, you know, you can live three lifetimes if, in fact, that form of spirituality exists and you'll never find what you think is truth. What you're really looking for is something that makes sense to you. Something that makes sense to you might not be the truth. See, people lie to themselves about thinking like they have to find the truth. You just have to find a damn good lie that you'll buy into. That's all you got to find. There's nothing sacrilegious about that. There's nothing blasphemous about that. Find just, because there is no truth there. Everything is fiction. Everything we do is music, as the German once said to the young boy learning to play the clarinet or the tuba or whatever it was. Everything we do is music. So what do you, so you got something to drink? Because you're going to need it. We're going to need it as we move along here, because we're moving along at paces that can only be set right here on Cthulhu Chronicles. Alternative broadcasting at its best, at its most unique. And for God's sakes, this is the show by which all talk shows are measured. There ain't no doubt about that. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I can pat myself on the back without even doing this show. What do you think? I need this show to pat myself on the back? I'm telling you, because it's the God's honor. It's the GHT. So as we move along, and we have a good hour and a half left, I'm going to do a couple of things. I'm going to talk about a couple of things and see where they go, those things. And then we're going to move along and maybe call someone, because I'll explain the calls. So stay with me, because these calls can turn out to be mighty darned entertaining. Because these people have no idea what we're going to say. Well, I have no idea what I'm going to say. And usually I try to put them right through the ringer. So they deserve what they get. They're all telecommunicators. I'm not calling any people. I'm waking them up, getting them out of bed, disturbing people who are having hard times with their families, friends, or anything like that. I'm not interrupting anything. And hopefully the numbers will even be there. I think these are 24/7 numbers. Okay? So news, information, conversation, and subordination continues here as we tend to our curiosities and continue to be the masters of our own routines. We can only do one thing, and that is to replenish our precious bodily fluids. We must do this no matter what happens. I, of course, have my perennial beverages. Number one, coffee. Coffee, staying warm upon its heated bottom. I didn't know what to call that thing. Here's how we like coffee on Cthulhu Chronicles. We tell you all the time, this is the best way to have it, no matter what you do. Whether you buy that regular, every coffee you have, whether you have it out of a can and it's the cheapest kind you buy at your store, or whether it's the expensive gourmet coffee or one of those designer coffees you get at Starbucks or Starbursts or, you know, Seattle Coffee Blend or wherever else you buy your coffee, the beans that you buzz yourself, whatever it is you do. All you have to do is put enough, and you make it black as hell. Black as hell does not mean burnt. Burned. What's the difference between burned and burnt? We're going to have to look that one up. Don't look it up on the internet, because there's plenty of places on the internet where you get incorrect information. And one of them is on a spell check. But let's not get, that's not my topic for this evening. Black as hell, strong as death, sweet as love. If you have your coffee and it's black as hell, chances are it's strong as death. Not burned. It's sweet as love. It's black as hell, not burned as hell. Or burned like hell. Or burned, hell burned. I haven't talked for a while because we've had so many guests on the past. How many weeks did we go? Lots of weeks with guests. Just you and me tonight. So next, you bet, Yukon Jack, imported Yukon Jack. I haven't really talked about Yukon Jack in a while, how I usually talk about Yukon Jack. The accolades, the wonderful and endearing sentences that I put together and turn into paragraphs that tell you how much I enjoy Yukon Jack, the imported Yukon Jack. Where is it imported? From Canada. Now, if you are in Canada, it's not imported. Can we get that straight? Now, I know you're saying, but, you know, Frank, you start off the show, you salute to Canada, you thank Canada, and SRN, the spirit of South York, South York is in Canada. Your servers are in Canada. But I am not in Canada. This is one of the wonders and magics. See, wonders, plural. Magic, singular. This is the magic and the plurals of this technology that brings you the program. Imported from Canada, if you're in any other country and you're getting Yukon Jack, it has been imported from Canada. It's the black sheep of Canadian liqueurs. It's beautiful bottle. Great picture of a black line. I love black line drawings. Black line drawings. You've seen them. They were big in, well, a lot of people do them. They were big in the 20s. Black line drawings. I'm just thinking, you know, I'm thinking about painting again. And the funny thing is I never painted, but I'm thinking about painting again. The great picture of a guy who's obviously a Canadian skinner. Skinner? Wait a second. You're a skinner? You're a furrier? What are they called? What were they called, those Canadian guys? Furrier? Furrer? A furrer? Anyway, it's a great picture, and it says on the back, it says right here, Yukon Jack is a taste born of hoary nights, H-O-A-R-Y. Look it up. Write this down quick. Put that word. So look up a couple of words I want you to put into your chronicles. If you don't know these words already, peruse, right? Peruse, browse, hoary, H-O-A-R-Y. Yukon Jack is a taste born of hoary nights when lonely men struggled to keep their fires lit and cabins warm. Incorrect. Lighted, not lit. When did the word lit come about? As lighted become lit? When did the past? I don't know. I have no idea. I wish sometimes that I could just close my eyes and follow in my head the stream, the history of almost every little thing that makes me wonder. That would be great. And if I could use more of my brain, I would be able to do that. But I refuse to use more of my brain because I think it takes some kind of time to be able to command such a technique and power. I don't know how to do that. How do you do that? It's got to take a long time. Okay, he said off mic. Then let's take a sip. Oh, man. The cow fell. We don't know where he fell either. The cow fell and he was quiet. That was so smooth that the cow fell. Hold on. There he is. You know, it's almost conditioning. Every time I drink a hard liquor, and that's what that is. That's hard liquor, the Yukon Jack. I hear this. It's like it's Pavlovian. I hear this thing. I'm so conditioned. Man is such an animal. You know? So conditioned. So filled with traditions and habits and what's the word for that? Not traditions and habits I forgot the word. There it is again. Like a prostitute in Thailand. It's unbelievably good. And water. That's the chaser. Chasing the coffee, the stimulants, chasing the stimulants, coffee being caffeine, liquor being liquor. Water, to water it down, supposedly. Maybe that's why water is the chaser. It's supposed to lighten the blow of the liquor, of the strength. It's supposed to lighten the strength, dilute, which is a word directly involved with water, right? To dilute the strength. Diluting strength is not a liquid, but you can dilute the strength of a liquid. How does your brain work? I mean, I think everybody's brain works the way I'm speaking. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I just think that happens. So what is going to happen? This is a solo show. Let's see. This is the first solo show we've done since March 22nd. Holy Clancy's nuts. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wow, that goes back. Is it really been that long? May 24th, Y2K plus 7. Walter Stewart, good idea. Music or Kinect Man has been in the music industry for longer than Clorox has had cleanup liquid. Walter Stewart will be talking about the Bangers. He wants to come promote the Bangers, a fine group that I guess I hope they're going country western, because I don't know if there's any more. There's no more such thing as rock and roll. And then on May 31st, and what's May 31st? That's right. It's May 31st should be Memorial Day, but that's Memorial Day week, because Memorial Day is a Monday. Always falls on Memorial Day weekend. Falls on the 28th. So we have like 2 weeks yet until the end of May. Holy mozzarella cheese. What a long month. Something got me a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't heard anybody else talk about it, so I'm going to talk about it now. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you what May 31st brings. May 31st, of course, brings Jonathan Geffner, Trillo, and Suede. I'm going to tell you how you can be a part of their movie. Trillo and Suede, a great ventriloquism duo. Actually, the duo is not... No, yes, they are. You can't ventriloquize unless you have a dummy. Or something. No, you don't have to have a dummy. You can ventriloquize your hand, like Senor Wences used to do. You draw little eyes on the top of your index, on the side of your index finger, and you use your thumb, and you move your thumb as a mouth. It's all right. Senor Wences. I know people are writing down in their, writing down in your notebook there. Huh? Oh, this physical culture. You know, this is a strange world that we're living in, and those of us who are over 50 understand this, because we're being told that there's tons of things that we need to do for ourselves to stay healthy and not die. And one of the things, of course, is this thing about exercise. Now, if you're like me, and I know you're not, I don't mean in that way, but if you're anywhere near my generation, you're either over 50 or under 50, there's only two types of people in the world. But if you're one of my tribe, if you're from that tribe, then you know that you grew up where this is something I keep saying here. It's a little phrase I keep saying, and you can only get it if you're over 50, and it's this. Yesterday it was eggs, today it's Lipitor. Yesterday it was eggs, today it's Lipitor. What does that mean? It means that when we were growing up, in my generation, they told you eggs. Eggs are good. Eggs are the natural food. Eggs. There is a commercial for eggs that runs on television today, telling you that it's the perfect food, and they're telling people to eat eggs. And then it's followed immediately by Lipitor, telling you because your cholesterol is too high, your doctor needs to ask your doctor about Lipitor. Because it'll help reduce your cholesterol. And maybe it does. I don't know. But it's got 1,000,000,000,000 different side effects. And you know, every kind of drug reacts differently on everybody. But in general, they act a certain way. And they're supposed to do a certain thing. Point I'm trying to make is if you grew up like where I grew up, when I grew up, why a lot of the people, the men just died of all sorts of diseases and everything at relatively young ages. And if they didn't die at young age, and I mean young, I'm talking about my age. This is young, 57. We're not talking about, I mean, you know, you could say all you want about it being old. But, you know, you can't tell me I'm any older than 27 in my head and my mind. And my experience, of course, takes me to 57 and even further. But the fact, do I really feel? I feel a certain way that's different than when I was 27, 37, and 47. But in essence, I have a consciousness. There's something that is driving me an engine. That is nothing more than just does not go 27. That doesn't mean I'm a big baby, although some people would say, Frank, you're just a kid, and that's bad. You should grow up. You should be an adult. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You know, it's like when the stores that say be 21 or be gone, I can go into those stores, and I can act like a perfect gentleman, even though I don't know what a perfect gentleman is, and I wouldn't have one over for dinner if I could. So what I'm trying to say to you is that when I was younger, and the people of my generation were younger, they said, eat eggs, don't worry about it. Hey, you're getting to be, smoke cigarettes, it's fine, it's all part of life. Smoke, eat, drink, and what you eat, forget about the smoking and the drinking. You know, it didn't matter. if you smoked or not. Because you could eat yourself to death. And plenty of people who never smoked in my generation are now dead. And we can't figure out how they are, I'm not, you are, you aren't, they are, and he isn't, and she was. It's talking about man, woman, and child. Okay? So take that, Dr. Phil. So today, now everybody's trying to level it off. Level it. See, that's because we have, if we're alive now, because we're products of those people who died because of cholesterol. What did they know about cholesterol? It just got high enough. It got up to a certain point. Wango, and then who? They're calling me. I'm not taking phone calls. They can't be calling me. I'm going to be calling them. Some people apparently have no regard for the fact that this is a private studio, and we will not, unless it's some kind of emergency. There's someone screaming up there. Here's the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that we are now in a position, if you're in your 50s, if you're late 50s, you're in a position now where you are trying to level off and take care of all the sins that you did to your body back then. And some people aren't. Some people still eat a lot, drink a lot, brush them like crazy. No, they eat, they eat the wrong things or what have you. But, you know, you go to the doctors anymore, and they're like, they go nuts, doctors. I went to a doctor. My cholesterol was a little bit, a little over that 200 mark. And holy Christmas, you would think that I was walking around looking like Charles Lawton. You know? So I had to go on some kind of a diet, which I did. I just reduced this, did that, reduced that, did this, and I got my cholesterol down. I didn't take the Lipitor. But the reason, and of course there's two reasons why you would have cholesterol. God, this is turning in. What is this? What is this? Sunday morning with Dr. Schmank what am I getting to? I'm getting to the fact that the physical exercise is now, all this stuff that we're trying to, as in our generation, is trying to correct, is in the generation before us now, okay? And I've lost track of the letters. Y, X generation, Y generation, Z, I don't know who they are. I don't know what we're up to. Are we going to go back to the A generation? Because we're at the Ys. So that would be the 30s and 40s, the people in their 30s and 40s now. Would that be the generation before us, the 30s? So they're not, they're aware of this stuff now. So they're growing up in a time when there's you're vegetarian. Look at kids being vegetarians and not eating meat. I mean, this was unheard of. You were the wackiest of all crazy nut jobs if you were a kid in your teens when I was growing up and you were a vegetarian. What did that mean? How could you not eat hot dogs? How could you not eat steaks, hamburgers? Today it sounds a little weird. But today they'll tell you, they'll tell you the hamburgers can't be greasy, the thing, okay, this, that, and the other thing. So then I saw this. Physical culture is the headline. It's in the New York Times in April. I held this thing. I haven't heard anybody else talk about this. And Kathleen Schaefer wrote this article, and I just want to, because here's the connection now, too, between being 50, my generation and that generation. There's when I was a child, women... the whole idea of women being feminine because they weren't equal, they were moms, they weren't out, they weren't, the whole war babies thing. And those women, the mothers that grew up either in ethnic homes, in urban, or even in the suburban, or even in farm places. The women did this work and the men did that. There were definitive characteristics, chores, and roles for the various sexes. But something that when I was a kid, I watched with great fascination was something called roller derby. Roller derby. And to this day, I don't totally understand how this game is played. But there's a rink, and there were men, and there were also women roller derby. See, in those days, you have women boxing. You didn't have women boxing in those days. But you didn't have women's basketball. You never had women's basketball in those days either. They hardly had any women's sports. Tennis, women were always big in tennis. They were little big. Tennis was what you could have women. And then they would still play the women. The women would play the men. And even this did today, the women and men, sex is a distinguishing category, and the men are always playing the women, will always be favored because of various physical, godly, let's call it godly physical capacities that are masculine and that are some that are feminine, okay? But tennis, okay, but there was roller derby, which was, I don't know how to say this, because I don't want to say, because I don't have anything against gays or lesbians. But I gotta have to use this, the word butch, because it is that. But I used to watch with great fascination these women played this game called roller derby. And it was, they just went around this rink, okay? There were teams, maybe four. I don't even know how many there are. Let's say there were four on each team. Now, what they're allowed to do, though, you're not just racing. As they're racing, they can elbow, push, punch, poke, and pinch. Elbow, push, poke, punch, and pinch the person in front of them, who's a woman, and knock them down. This is a contact sport. And so, on television, you could watch women bashing each other with their elbows, their fingers, their punching, they would get into fights, would break out. You know the old joke, that you hear that there was a fight and a hockey game broke out? You know, it's the same thing here. It was a fight and a roller derby team was created. And I don't know, they got points by going around, and I don't know how they got points. I really don't. I still don't know how they won. But there were teams. And the teams were based after cities. There were the Hartford Butches and the Lemoyne Butches. I don't know. They weren't called Butches. You know, they were called something. The Thunderbolts. They even had masculine names. And, of course, the men of that time all thought that they were all lesbians. It's just like when I grew up, all the dancers, if there were male dancers on television, all the people, the adults, the uncles, the aunts, the mothers, and the fathers, they all said, well, those are the gay people. That's what the gay people do. Talk about having doors closed in your brain, right? Not the people that I grew up with. Stereotypes were just part of life. That's just what it was. It's cliches. This is where jokes come from. They come from. And they come from there because there is a modicum of truth involved in all of that. All cliches are based on truth. And stereotypes are based on truth. There's no doubt about it. There is a reason why the watermelon is connected to the slave, the black slave in America. Because somewhere along the lines, one of them or two of them or three of them were eating watermelons, and suddenly that became a stigma, you see. And so the same thing with women being any kind of women, any color being lesbians or men being gay, and they dance because men do feminine things, okay. So you got all that down, right? So here's what's happening now, though. Because now, the world is a different place. And sex is a different thing. Not just because it's open, but because it crosses the boundaries of masculine and feminine. It's a cloudy area where, and Freud had said this too, although he didn't have a radio program, and he didn't say it on the radio program, no less over the internet. But Freud had said, you know, we all have masculine and feminine qualities about us. In other words, men have masculine, have feminine qualities, and feminine have masculine qualities. And when what we're doing, as Wilhelm Reich said, and wrote about, is we're armoring ourselves so that we don't let certain feelings and stuff out. We armor ourselves. Armor was a big word, even though it's metaphysical armor. It's not, it's psychological armor. Okay. So I read this thing here about what's going on now. Physical culture. This is in the New York Times. The New York Times now written by people who are younger than I am. This is fascinating to me. Every once in a while I turn around and I go, God, I am 57. It says 2 years ago, Jenny Mohammed, a 34-year-old full-time mother from the Bronx, was flipping through television channels while nursing her six-month-old boy, and landed on a reality show about roller derby. She was so enthralled by the hard-charging women dressed like pinups that she Googled pictures of roller derby girls and put up a shot of one of them in electric blue eyeshadow on her refrigerator. So here she found a feminine. So wait a second. First of all, there's still roller derby for women? Holy Christmas. So anyway, so Ms. Mohammed, why is she This is not like, her name is Muhammad, and she must have some relationship to being Muslimic or Arabic. I don't know, but she's a totally American woman here. Ms. Muhammad spent the next year skating around a nearby paved reservoir while pushing her baby in a jogger, all to try out for the Long Island Roller Rebels League. Long Island, New York has a league of roller derby teams for women. See, this is what it says. And she's now a member of the Ladies of Laceration, one of the four teams in the league. The Ladies of Laceration is what they're called. One of the four teams in the league. There are moments, she says, there's a quote, there are moments when it's very clear that I am a very different, that I am in a very different place than a lot of the girls, she said of her single teammates. I've seen girls get hit extremely hard where their neck snaps, and I think, what am I doing here? Yes, what are you doing there? Something is driving her. This could be therapeutic in itself. The fact that she wants to get out, there's a physical story. You cannot play roller derby unless you hit and get hit. That's, you know, so she's seeing this happen. Of course, she has a child, so she's a little worried. In her basic track pants and tasteful diamond stud earrings, Ms. Muhammad doesn't, let's call her Jenny. Jenny does not look as if she would elbow an opponent. Then again, roller derby girls are no longer just single women in fishnets who flash their underwear at fans. That's what we loved about it when we were kids. We would watch television and be allowed to see this. Today, a growing number of mothers play, too, whether they're stay-at-home moms, who shun conventional mommy and me groups, or executives looking for a diversion outside of home and office. A diversion. Women condoning violence in sport. Check this out. Women condoning violence in sport. Roller derby moms. Forget about soccer moms. Soccer moms are just moms that take their kids to soccer. Roller derby moms use the elbows and the fingers. They pinch, they poke, they bite, they punch. They pulsate. She says, part of the reason I think moms are attracted to roller derby is that they get to develop a new persona. Oh, this is not her. This is another lady saying it. Melissa. This is Melissa. She, Melissa wrote a book called Roller Girl, Totally True Girls. It's an alliteration and I blew it. Roller Girl, Totally True Tales from the Track. This is a book. You can get it. Roller Girl, Totally True Tales from the Track. She says, when you're a mom, you have to put your child first. And I imagine it's liberating for a mother to go back to who she was before she had a child. To just be a woman instead of a mother. Whoa, 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 whoa. So in other words, who she was before she was a mother, she pinched, she poked, she punched, and she pulsated. Can we be seeing an entire new, you know what this says? What does this say? Is this something, I see my doors are opening and the doors of my brains are opening like mad now. Oh, I need a drink of Yukon Jacker. I hope I'm going to be looking to see if there are roller derby girls in my town. I've got to see this. I got to go down there and see it. I got to get some of these people on the program. There's no official record of the number of roller derby players nationwide, let alone how many of them are parents. But team managers, players, and a spokeswoman for the Women's Flat Track Derby Association agree that they're seeing a modest rise in mothers joining leagues. Last year, a mothers-only league of 17 women was formed in Austin, Texas, after Kathy Parks, its founder, recruited talent from the parent pool at her daughter's preschool. Mothers who need to pinch, poke. I want to know, and see, the things I want to know about this are just, they're never going to pop up in this article. Mothers who roughhouse in the derby rink. It offsets child-rearing stress? I don't think it's just that. I think it has a lot to do with daddy, if there still is a daddy. Says to me, more single mothers than there are mothers with daddies. So perhaps this is something that is this is just therapeutic in an aggressive way, showing that these women who claim, most of them, not to have these tendencies are indeed letting out their masculine selves on the rink. My name is Frank Cotolo, and the man whose name adorns the title of the program. The program is Cotolo Chronicles, and we're here for another 57 some odd minutes. It's Y2K plus 7. It is May 17th. And we're talking about roller derby moms in Y2K plus 7. Women? Now, yeah, it's strange to me, too. I don't know. That's why I got to find out these things. Women who, I guess all women, girls learn how to skate at one time or another, don't they? I think they do. All girls learn how to skate at one time or another. Let's go through a little bit more of this. Mothers, and then we're going to make a call and see if that, because if the call doesn't work, we have to go right back to the stories, right? Because we have to do a program here. What do you think this is, a sideshow? Mothers drawn to the rough and tumble game said it helps them release the stress of raising children and prove that being responsible for a child doesn't mean you can no longer throw body blocks. Check this out. Write these down quick. Write this down. I love this. You know, when push comes to shove, to use a term that is suitable in this case, although not intrinsic to the explanation, but to when push comes to shove, women want a man to protect them, and yet, because they want to feel safe with a man, otherwise they don't want to be with a man. Unless it's an anomaly relationship. There are exceptions to everything, but in general, this is all the psychological stuff. And yet, here she is a mother, and maybe she doesn't have a man, but she wants to check it out. I mean, that's just, she wants, the child, she wants to prove that being responsible for a child doesn't mean you can no longer throw body blocks. What do you mean no longer? You mean you have thrown body blocks before you were a mother? Holy macaroni and cheese. Wake up. It's night. I am really out of touch. I want to know who these women are. Okay, let's see some more of this here. Okay. Oh, that's a commercial. Where does it jump? It jumps to here. Some lady says, I got my youth and spirit back. I don't feel old, even though the other girls will tell me I got my first grown-up job. And I'm like, your first grown-up job? My skates are older than you. Modern-day roller derby, which was revived 5 years ago by a group of women in Austin who used a flat track instead of a banked one. Oh, okay. I didn't mention this to you because I had the vision in my head when I was explaining it to you. If you don't know roller derby, it was a banked, curved track so that you could, when you'd skate on the outside, you'd be on a higher level than on the inside lane. See, so it would hold like four people across. And you see what I'm saying? So it would bank. But now, apparently they started it, they used a flat track. So now it's done on a flat track. It's an hour-long game made up of two-minute sprints. Now I'm going to learn a little bit more about it here, okay? As I said, I've watched this thing time and again, and I still never got the exact conditions and details of this. Where is it? Here. Here's how you play. An hour-long game made up of two-minute sprints. Each team has four blockers and a sprinter. Or a jammer. my wife's a jammer. Yeah. Okay. My girlfriend's a jammer. I love that. What's your girlfriend do? She's a jammer. Okay, so that's five. I said there were four, and I was wrong. There's five. The goal is to skate through the pack without getting knocked down by the other team. Now, can you get any more male than that? The goal is not to fall down. Is it a male game or what? Here's the game. I push you push me, you fall down, I win. Don't you love this? I do. Not many people know the rules of roller derby. What's far better known is the spectacle of the sport. This is true. See, she's writing this with acumen, because that's what I told you before I read the article to you about how we watched it. We had no idea about the rules. And you know, they used to be guys with stripes and referees skating around. They know the rules. With its the spectacle of the sport, skimpy uniforms, provocative derby names like Holly Knockers. K-N-O-C-K-H-E-R-S. Holly Knockers. Knockers? Get it? And crowd-pleasing catfights. That's what I'm talking about, the catfights. I don't know what they do now. There's some pictures here I wish you could see. Long Island Roller Rebels, one of the many flat-track women's roller derby leagues to spring up in recent years. Okay, so it says here there are two types of mothers who play. Those who don't mind having their children tag along, even if it means they might see mommy punching someone, and those who use practice time as a reprieve from child rearing. You know, I have a sense, and I don't know, maybe this is my neo-postmodernism coming out, but I have a sense that you go to a marriage is having trouble, and you go to a counselor. And the woman feels, and this is a case with many relationships, especially after a bunch of years. The woman feels repressed. She feels this, that, and the other. She's got all this bent up stuff. She's been caring for the husband and doing what she had to do, caring for the house, well, you know, and then maybe even having a job also. So she's got this dual role that she never asked for, okay, and all this stuff is going on. So she's starting to feel like, well, this whole thing is going down the tubes. Going to counseling, could you imagine the counselor saying, well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to recommend that you join a roller derby league. He's telling the woman. And then the husband goes, but I'm not really much of a, I'm not talking to you, he says, I'm talking to your wife. Roller derby may actually be the savior of marriages, of relationships, of marriages. Because the other thing can happen too. Someone could break out. A woman could break out. She could suddenly realize, oh my goodness, you know, I punch and I pound and I punch, pound, poke, and pinch. So much better than I do anything else. That I don't need a man. How about roller derby? Can this thing become, wait a second, this thing might become unisex. Holy crap, can you imagine that? Men and women? The picture I'm seeing is just wonderful. She's got a helmet on, she's hugging her daughter. Whoever this lady is. And then there's this four women trying to break through a line of four other women with the jam. I don't know which one the jammer is. The one on the front looks like she can jam pretty damn well. Who's this? Heather? Oh, Heather is the lady okay. Okay, those are the two types of mothers who play. And what else does this say here that we can go through this thing here? Some other lady named Samantha is a teacher, and she said she doesn't mind her two daughters witnessing the roughhousing. The true heart, here's what she says, the true heart of roller derby is the aggression and the toughness and the contact. That's what makes us moms cool. If moms can get in touch, if moms, women who have had children, because they go through major changes, women, when they have children. Men don't go through those kind of changes, chemically, physically, psychologically. If a woman can get into touch with what this woman says is the heart of roller derby, and that is get in touch with aggression, toughness, and contact. Aggression, toughness, and contact. That puts a woman, I believe, do you believe? Nah, it's not even a belief. I'm just thinking this out loud here. Wouldn't that allow a woman to feel more of what a man feels? Because if women don't feel aggression, toughness, and contact in a certain way, then how can they ever equate with a man? when we had Pai Kim on this show, and she had Pai Kim, of course, the author of that great book, Sex Secrets of an American Geisha, understanding the femininity, women understanding their femininity to the point of getting to a man. Getting to a man means because they want a man to be complicated. He's not. He's a dumbo. He's not. He's basic. He's very basic. He's A, B, C. It doesn't go beyond that. The alphabet does not go further than C. But if a man can, if a feminine, imagine this woman is incredibly feminine and she plays roller derby. What would this man not do for this woman? How could this woman not have this man in the palm of her hands? Instead of using the brain, which is used, remember, the brain is using itself. The brain is working no matter what you do. I'm going to be following up this roller derby thing. I swear to you, sure as my name is Hartak McGinty, I'm going to be looking into it in my local, but around here. I'll even look on MySpace. Maybe there's some roller derby thing. If you find anything else about roller derby, women's roller derby, write to me, lead me there, send me links, do whatever you got to do. fcatolo@yahoo.com is where you can get a hold of me. You can also get to me by writing to me at Podomatic, cotolo.podomatic.com, where the show streams. And through my, I think you could send an email through the blog if you're a blogger already, if you have a blog. cotolochronicles.blogspot.com is where you should go anyway. Those are the places. See, whatever you know about women's roller derby, please send to me. I'm going to be investigating and do another show about it and try to get, maybe even try to get some roller derby gals on. New roller girly derbies. Roller derby girlies. I love it. And I want to go see it again. I want to see it again. It brings back, it's like when I was a kid. And I watched, you know, a wrestling, even though wrestling was, of course, a sham, an act, or whatever. It didn't matter. It was great theater. Men pounding each other, pelting each other. And, you know, they did have, I think they had women wrestling. I'm not sure back then. It wasn't as much glitter and sparkle, and it wasn't as much heavy metal as it is now. Those were the days of Haystacks Calhoun, the Golden Boy. And, you know, guys who looked like, who had muscles and looked like Jerry Lee Lewis, you know. So anyway, we'll get back to that, Pearson. We're gonna find out more about that. Anything you know, please write to me here, Cotolo Chronicles, and I will look into it from your side. If you know anybody or anybody knows you, if you know anybody or anybody knows you, please say hello to them for me. Thank you very much. I'm going to do calls. You know, we don't often do calls, crazy calls, and they're not crazy calls. I'm just going to call, and we're going to see what goes on, if the phones work and everything. Otherwise, we'll get back to some other things I was going to talk about. But hold on. Here's what happened. I get these things in the mail. I'm going to open this right now. It's important delivery letter, okay? This important delivery letter tells me that I have an ID number, which I have to keep here because I'm going to have to tell them my ID number. I believe these people are going 24/7. I'm going to talk to them and find out what the heck, and we're going to try to drive them as nutty as we can. Okay, it's still good, 524. Okay, Francatolo. And what does it say? It says that I've won some. Here it is. Okay. It says I've won something. Here it is. Are we trying to reach you regarding your $2,100,000 sweepstakes ID? Please call us. This is a free call, says Pat Haynes, sales representative. We must hear from you by the deadline on the front of this mail, or otherwise your ID number will expire. And you know what that means. It means bye-bye, $2 million. Let's call and see if anybody's there and see if we can talk to them and see what develops from this particular area of life. Because once in a while, these things turn out to be mildly entertaining. And of course, it's a sham. It's a sham within a sham within a sham. Let's find out if we can get to these people.
Thank you, sir. May I have your ID number, please?
Yes, you may have my ID number. My ID number is 640. 1-0-6-8-9-9. Did you hear that?
Yes, it's 640-106-8-9-9.
Okay, but let me give it to you again, okay? It's 640...
Is it Frank?
Yeah.
Okay, and my name's Elizabeth. I have some very important information to
Elizabeth?
Share with you.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
Is it possible that I can call you Liz?
That's fine.
While we talk?
Sure, not a problem.
Okay.
And I have some important information to share with you about our $2 million strike at Rich Sweepstakes.
I notice here that it says that you've been trying to reach me regarding 2,100,000. Now, you said 2 million. It says here 2,100,000.
Right, I'm going to go over everything with you right now, Frank. And for accuracy, this conversation may be recorded.
It may be. It's a very true. It could be recorded.
Okay. And, Frank, by calling in today, it's possible your sweepstakes ID could be selected in the Strike It Rich sweepstakes.
Hey, Elizabeth.
With a bond of $2.1 million guaranteed prize.
It is. Liz, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Where exactly are you in these great United States of America, though, boys?
In Florida.
Florida. Okay.
Okay.
You're not anywhere near those fires they're having.
No, we're south of that.
Okay, but it's still hot, right?
Yeah, it's still hot here.
Okay.
Okay. And as always, there's no purchase or payment required to enter or win any of the sweepstakes we offer.
No, of course
it's just a way of saying thank you for being a preferred credit card holder.
Well, you know what? I want to say this, and I want this to go on record, especially if we're recording it. You're welcome.
Okay. And do you still carry your Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover?
Almost anywhere I go, Liz, I have my wallet. Inside my wallet are the very cards you speak of.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Now, if you're selected as a winner, Frank, we're going to provide you with first-class transportation to our company headquarters here in Clearwater, Florida.
Clearwater?
And we'll send you a check in a special awards ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And we may call you if you're selected the winner, Frank, so I need to confirm your home telephone
number. You know what? I need to ask you something here, Liz. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, you still there?
Yes.
I don't want to lose you. It says here... that I should talk to Pat Haynes.
That is the marketing name our company uses.
So there is no Pat Haynes?
No, there is a real Pat Haynes.
Where's...
That is the marketing name our company uses, but wouldn't speak directly with him.
Oh, it's a him?
Yes.
It's not Patricia Haynes?
No.
How can I get my Haynes on him?
No, I'm not really sure.
Okay. So Pat Haynes is not a real person, but it's the person I was supposed to talk to. I'm talking instead to Liz. Are you Liz Haynes?
No.
Oh, no, you're not.
Okay. And we have the phone number of 717-469-7159. Is that correct?
You have that phone number? That's funny. So do I.
Okay. The entry is complete and registered. And important question for you, Frank. If you're the grand prize winner, you'd have two payout options, a $1 million lump sum or $70,000 a year for 30 years. Which would you choose?
Well, now, what are the benefits of each one?
In other words, entirely up to you. Would you rather have a lump sum?
Well, I have to know. Is a lump sum going to afford me more? Do I get more money from a lump sum? But do I owe more taxes from a lump sum? And what is the story of a lump sum? How does the lump sum come? Does the lump sum come in a check? Does the lump sum come in cash? How does the lump sum come? Liz?
This is Ron, I'm supervisor for accuracy. This conversation may be recorded. How can I help you today?
I know it's... I was talking to Liz. What happened to Liz?
Liz,
L-I-Z, her name is Elizabeth. She said I could call her Liz. What happened to her? I was just talking.
Yeah, but I'm talking to you now. What can I help you with in the sweepstakes?
Are you Pat Haynes?
No, I'm Brian Kirby.
Are you a Brian Kirby?
Yeah.
Brian, why am I not talking to Liz?
Because I'm handling the call now. What can I help you with, sir?
Is there a problem?
What can I help you with, sir?
Well, you can help me with... She said I could get a lump sum. Well, I could get $70,000 for a certain amount of time, right?
That's correct.
So let me ask you something about the lump sum.
Sure.
How does the lump sum come? Does the lump sum come in a check? Does the lump sum come in cash? Does the lump sum come in a big truck with the change in it?
You ever watch the Super Bowl?
Did I ever watch the Super Bowl?
You ever watch the Super Bowl?
Live?
It doesn't matter. Have you ever seen it?
I've seen a Super Bowl game on television.
Have you ever seen the halftime show when they have somebody like try to kick a field goal or anything like that?
I saw Prince on the halftime show this year.
Okay. Well, sometimes they'll have
does
try
Prince,
to kick a field goal.
Does,
and if they kick a field goal.
Does Prince bring me my lump sum?
Okay, I understand you're just jerking my chain, and I'm going to release this call if you don't have any pertinent questions to the sweepstakes.
I would like to know why you think
you have.
These are pertinent questions. You sent me something, and I want to know. Why are you insulting my intelligence, sir? I'm asking you questions based on something. This is my second notice.
Okay.
Don't I deserve to know some of the things that's going on here?
I'm trying to get to it, and you keep getting off the subject onto something else. I'm trying to explain what you're going to get.
Okay, right? Go ahead. Explain that. I'm just going to... Can I ask questions?
Big check.
Can I ask questions?
You'll get a big check, like one of those big oversized checks like you see, like with, you know, Publishers Clearinghouse or anything like that. It's the same thing. You'll get a big check like that.
Okay, and what do you do with a big check like that? I mean, you got to carry a big check like that to the bank, or can you...
This is what I'm talking about, sir.
What? What do you mean what you're talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about, sir.
What?
If you have a pertinent question to the sweepstakes, I'll be more than happy to answer it. If you are the winner, we'll call you, and we'll also send you a certified mail to let you know you are the winner, and we'll present you with a check and a special award ceremony here at our company headquarters.
Okay, in the award ceremony, what happens there?
That's when you get the big check.
Oh, so you give me the big check at the award ceremony.
Right.
Okay, and what happens at the ceremony? Is there music? Is there food? What is there?
Of course.
Okay, good. Okay, and are there other winners there, or am I the only winner?
No, there's only one winner.
Okay, there's only one winner of $2.1 million.
That's correct.
Okay, where's Liz? Did she leave?
No, she's right here.
Okay, why can't I talk to Liz?
Because you're talking to me, because I'm trying to... Liz is, she's a very...
she's a wonderful person.
Yeah, she's awesome, and she's great.
She's really wonderful.
And I want to answer all your questions and make sure that you're satisfied, but I'm not going to have her sit here for 20 minutes when most calls take about 5 minutes, where I spent 6.5 minutes on this
call. Can I ask you why calls only take 5 minutes? What am I doing wrong?
Nothing. I'm answering questions as quickly as I possibly can.
What am I doing wrong, sir?
You're not doing anything wrong.
I don't want to do anything wrong. I just want to find out about this.
Okay. What other questions can I answer for you?
Well, I want to know what to do.
You don't have to do anything. By calling in, you're entering into the sweepstakes. You have a chance to win the $2.1 million. There's no purchase or payment required. It's a toll-free call.
So
the only thing it takes is a little bit of your time. We're a direct marketing company. We've been doing this since 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically it.
Okay, so what exactly happens now?
You're entered in the sweepstakes.
Oh, so you mean that's it? The call is over? Right?
Yeah, by calling in, you're entering into the sweepstakes. That's right.
Well, okay, so nothing else happens. That's it?
No, that's it.
Well, how come I got a couple of these in the mail?
The more you get, you can always call in and enter again. It's one entry per household per day, okay?
If you get
another mail piece, you can call in and enter with that mail piece.
Okay.
But if you have, like, three of them, I would wait the next day and call in, because it's only one entry per day.
I see. One entry per day.
Right.
Okay. Well, then I got this other one here.
Wait for the mail to call back with the other one.
Okay. And then, so I don't have this. So there's nothing else I have to do.
No, there's no purchase or payment.
Can I say goodbye to Liz?
I'm going to handle the call, so...
It's what?
I'm going to handle the call. I'll tell her you said bye-bye.
I didn't say bye-bye.
Okay.
Don't tell her I said bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye is what a baby says. I didn't tell her bye-bye.
All right, how about goodbye?
I want to say goodbye, Liz. Can you give her a message for me?
Sure.
Goodbye, Liz. Okay, you want to write this down?
I'm not going to write it down. I'll remember it. Go ahead.
You do? You have a good memory?
I sure do.
Okay. All right, because you want to ask, goodbye, Liz. Thank you very much for cooperating with me on this call. And I'd like to tell your manager, I'd like you to tell your manager from me, that you've done a marvelous job. If you're recording this right now, I would like it to be documented that you've been wonderful with the client, and I think that they're probably, you should go up in the company somehow and maybe make more money. And are you her supervisor?
I sure am.
Okay, can you just say back to me what you're going to tell her now?
I'm going to tell her
that
she did a marvelous job, that you think she should move within the company, and she's a great associate.
I never used the word associate, though.
Okay.
Are you going to use the word associate when you talk to
her? Is there something else about the sweepstakes that I can answer for you? Because I would really like to end this call if there's not.
Well, I'm sorry, but what okay, I want to make sure I...
My point is, sir, is that we have a lot of calls coming in, and if you don't have any other questions about the sweepstakes, then I'm going to go ahead and let you go so that we can get to some other callers and get them entered in the sweepstakes.
I want to ask you a question right now, because apparently it seems like somehow, and I don't know how I've done this, and I do this a lot, and I'm really sorry about it. I can't apologize to you enough.
You don't have to apologize to me.
Seems to me like you're annoyed with me.
I'm not annoyed with you.
I'm just trying to figure out what I need to do and what I'm going
to
get from this.
It sounds to me
like you don't even want to talk to me. And you took Liz away from me and you wouldn't let me talk to her. Now you're mad at me and I did something.
You don't have to do anything else.
I'm thinking that you're mad and you're going to rip up my entry and I'm never going to be able to
be in this. Once you call in, you're already entered into the system. There's no... no way to do any of that nonsense. We wouldn't do that.
So you're not mad at me?
No.
You sure?
Positive.
What was your name again? What is your name?
Brian.
Brian? Okay, I don't want you to be mad at me, Brian.
I'm not.
Okay, and you're going to tell Liz that I said, I didn't make her, she didn't give you the phone, did she? Because
no.
She was mad, because I made her mad, did she?
No, I noticed how long the call was, and we run a pretty tight ship around here, so I just noticed how long the call was, and usually calls are a lot shorter, so.
I see.
I was making sure everything was okay, that's all.
How do you get phones on a ship? Is it like a really a ship? Brian, I mean, are you on a ship in Florida? Are you like a... Brian?
Frank, remember, there's no purchase or payment required at the end of the sweepstakes.
I don't have to do anything.
Thank you. I want to thank you for calling in, Frank.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome, Brian.
And I want you to have a wonderful day.
Well, there's not much left of it, Brian, but I'll try. And I'm so sorry I made you mad.
You didn't make me mad.
You sure?
Not at all.
You're positive now. You know, you don't have your fingers crossed behind your back, do you now, Brian?
No, I'm positive, man. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, Brian.
Bye. All right, bye-bye.
Bye. So as you can see, this is Catholic Chronicles. You might have to tape this for quality control. And so they did. So now I'm a member of the sweepstakes. But here's something else that's even funnier. And that is that I have another, I have another one here. It says, we're trying to reach Frank Catola for $2.5 million. Here's another one. Here's on my ID number, on another ID number. Now, he swore, you see, because, he started to get annoyed, but he couldn't say he was annoyed because this is telemarketing etiquette, right? So he couldn't do it. So what happens if I now call with this other one? Delay in response not recommended. Now, what if I call with my other, I'm bound to get somebody else, and I'm not going to get Liz or Brian, right? They're going to see, what if I call that? Now, let's give them a couple of minutes, okay? We got plenty of time. We're let's call the other thing here. It says switch your home. This is another piece of this is from Chase Manhattan Bank. You could pay less. I don't know about this. This doesn't sound like it's too much fun. This sounds like a real thing. Except here's the deal. These people send you these things. See, so you're always in the right. And that's why I turned that thing around. When he started getting mad at me, I could have gotten mad at him, and then of course we could have wound up yelling and screaming. But that's not the idea. Was to do the opposite. Now a lot of people don't like to do this stuff. You know why? Because they're using their own name. And somewhere now in Florida, there's someone is looking at my name and my thing going, "Oh, it's Frank Catola." If they ever see my name again, they'll go, "That guy's a nut." Why would I care? Why would I care? I'm just having myself some. I wanted to ask Liz if she would play roller derby. See, I didn't get around to it. Did you see how quickly he, did you hear? Didn't see anything. Did you hear how quickly he took that phone away? I don't know if I have any other vagrant. Let's see if I have any other random phone numbers just hanging around here. This will be fun. Let's see. And I'm into this now. We are, of course, on Catola Chronicles. That's where you are, and me. You and me here, Catola Chronicles. And we have a half hour left of this program. Plenty of things to talk about and everything, but I wanted to see if we can call that. And I'm looking for any other numbers I have here that I might have left for a show like this when I was going to do it. Here's a strange number. I don't even know what it is. I could find out. We just call a number that we think we know what it is and say, what the hell is this number? Who is this? Right? Could do that. I don't know what that is. That's my number. I talk about the Catola Chronicles notebooks. I have these pocket memo books. I have tons of them. They're little composition books. They are. Little composition books. Look at all these numbers I got in here. There might be a couple of buttes. Who's this? This lady? I don't know her. I don't know her. We can't call her. And these books are great. You put all your stuff in. It's a little book. It's a handbook. You know those notebooks with the spiral that the DOC detectives with, Columbo's always, and they flip them over, okay? These are little composition books. They open up like regular books, see? And there's that moth again. Bye-bye, moth. And you open it up, and I got tons of notes in here. I have notes. Oh, here's a place. No, they probably closed. Well, here's the number I was looking for. What am I doing? I'm spending my time on this program with you looking for numbers. I just thought maybe I'd find one more because I was going to call them back. We could call Denny's and tell them about their grits. I wonder if Denny's is there. Let's find out if Denny's is there. Let's see it. Uh-oh. Doesn't work? Oh, yeah. We got to put this. Oh, there it is. Okay. Let's call Denny and tell him they have great grits. You want to do that? Let's see if that number works. One. I don't know if this number is going to work. Let's see if this number works here.
Thank you for contacting the Denny's call center.
Yeah, this is the Denny's.
Your call is important to us.
Yeah, but
and
what?
May be monitored for quality and training purposes.
So there are people there.
Please choose from one of the following options and make your selection carefully.
Okay, let's do it carefully then.
If you're a customer, mm-hmm. calling about an experience you had at one of our restaurants.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Press 1.
Okay.
If you're a Denny's employee from a restaurant with a support center needing technical support, press 2.
No, we're going to be 1, so if it's 1.
If you're a current or former Denny's employee.
This is exactly what happens today.
Regarding your W-2,
see?
Press 3.
You got to go through.
If you're a Denny's employee.
You got to. I'll just press 1.
Thank you.
Yeah. You got to jump through hoops to talk to anybody who's real. Here's somebody. We can get somebody who's real here now. Okay. Let's talk to somebody from Denny's. Tell them about the grits. That there must be somebody at 24 hours.
Thank you for calling Denny's.
Hi, I pressed 1 because I'm a Denny's customer.
Mm-hmm.
And it says something here about experiences. And I've had this number for a while. I've been meaning to call. There's a Denny's in my area that recently closed. It's not there anymore. I went to go for breakfast, and suddenly there's no Denny's.
Okay.
Now, is there a reason why there's no Denny's there now?
They might have closed that particular unit. I'm not sure.
They might have closed. You mean they might still be open, but they took the sign down, and there's a secret entrance?
I don't think that would happen, but.
Why did Denny's close?
I'm not sure. They closed a bunch of the units, and they're selling them to franchise.
Every time I went to this Denny's, what's your name, sir?
My name is Drew.
Drew?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's a past tense of draw, right?
That's it.
Okay. Drew, every time I went to this Denny's,
mm-hmm.
I waited. That's how jam-packed it was. There were people always waiting in seats in the front, waiting for seats. There were always people in all the tables, everywhere. Do you think that this was closed because of a health thing?
I'm not sure.
Why?
I don't have access to any of that information.
Yeah, I know. I guess it's unfair to ask you that. But why? What is the most common reason a Denny's closes, especially if there's lots of business?
I know right now as a company, they're trying to push more franchise units.
Okay, well, I'm just a guy who eats Grand Slam breakfasts. So I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Basically, a franchise unit would be a unit that is owned by another company, which independently runs the Denny's.
So they're trying to, they want Staples to run their company? Oh, yeah, I mean, they want another company, like Walmart?
It would be somebody like some type of food company to...
A food company? Like Kellogg's? Heinz? How many food companies can you name, Drew? Obviously not one.
There's one here called Classic Dining of Castleton.
Now, wait a second, Drew. There's one here. I don't know where you are. Where are you?
We're in Spartanburg, South Carolina. This one I'm speaking of is actually in Indianapolis, Indiana.
What's in Indianapolis, Indiana?
The Denny's company that I told you that owns one of our franchise locations.
Okay, but the point is that nobody bought this because it closed.
Uh-huh.
So nobody bought it. Why would it just close? Would the owner wake up one day and say, "Man, I really am tired of serving these eggs and stuff. I'm going to close this joint down." Or did he make so much money that he just decided he didn't need the store anymore?
I'm not sure.
Well, do you have any statistics there about why place? Let's get back to me as a customer, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because ultimately, the customer is the most important thing in Denny's, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what happens to a guy like me who loves Denny's? He gets into his Grand Slams. He wants to eat his Grand Slams. He likes those meatloaf things you have at night. You know the meatloaf things you have at night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and with that green stuff on it. I don't know what that green stuff is, but God, is it delicious. What do we do when we wake up and we expect, as this now is part of our lifestyle, going to Denny's, we get up, we get in our car, it's not too far, but we go to the only place we know, that place is Denny's, we get there, and whammo, it's closed, there's no one there, it's dark, it's dead. It's like a cemetery. What do we do?
Well, I'll tell you what, I can give you a number here.
Another number?
And it'll be for a,
Is it a Denny's help? A Denny's help number? Like, help, I need Denny's? 1-800-HELP, I need Denny's? How do I get a Denny's? I get a Denny's fix. You know, you guys get me addicted to Grand Slams and I can't get a Grand Slam anywhere. What's a guy like me supposed to do? Help me, Drew, help me. Help me, Drew, help me.
I'm trying.
What's it like in Spartanburg?
Small town, not real big.
Did you grow up there?
Yes, sir. I've been here my whole life. Yes, sir.
You don't have to call me sir. I know I'm a lot older than you are. You're probably young. You work there, and you're doing this. Do you work for the Denny's Corporation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So the Denny's Corporation should know where every Denny's is located. Is that not correct?
Yes, sir.
So then why not tell me where I can get a Denny's in my area? If I'm in the state, like if I tell you a state, do you have a computer there you can just punch in? You ever got a Denny's database?
Yes, sir, I do.
I think if you have a Denny's database, do you call it a DD? Does somebody walk up to you and go, hey, go into the DD and find out? Can you go into the DD?
I will go into that for you.
Go into the DD, and then is it separated by state?
City and state.
By city and state, okay? Okay, let's go into Pennsylvania.
Okay. Pen,
huh? Now, that one might be in your database, in your DD, it might be under P. It might be under P, if you have it categorized in alphabet. How is that database?
It's the two-digit...
Mailing,
so it's PA.
So it'd be PA.
And then I've got a listing of cities here.
Okay. Now, let's see, what cities there? Do you have Harrisburg?
Harrisburg.
That's where you're going to find that one that, okay, go ahead. I want to see if you still have listed the one that closed, which of course would mean your DD is corrupted.
It is.
You still have the one that's closed. We got a big problem here.
Well, I got it. It was 0603. It was on 4275 Union Deposit, closed as of 11/15/2006.
There you go. There you go. That's it, Drew. That's my Denny's. It's gone. What does it say? Does it have a file and information there, details?
No, it don't tell me any details. It just tells me that it was closed and the date.
What kind of a database is this if there's no data?
He's a funny guy. I don't mean me. I meant what a difference, huh? In people who have a sense of humor or people who understand. I don't know. I don't know what that meant, I guess. This is me again, Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. I hope you enjoyed that. I did. I was listening. Hey, what do you think I did? Walk away? You think I did? Wait, I didn't go to Denny's. I was listening. I'd forgotten about those phone calls. I knew there were some phone calls at the end there. But, so, you know, you got to be careful for, these things are still coming in the mail. Now, look at how long ago, right? Who won that $2 million? Was there $2 million? Junk. Junk, junk. What are we going to do next week? Well, I don't know. But I do know a number of people are in the queue. Charles Dennis and the gang, because there's a Barking Mad a movie is coming out. And there's going to be some stuff. Some other people want to be here. I don't know. You know, we'll dig up something. Don't forget what I said. fcotolo@yahoo.com, where you can ask me. And even if you don't know some of the topics of past shows, just ask me if we did anything on it, on the topic or what have you, and I'll look it up. That's the most work I'm going to do. Otherwise, I'm just going to put it on. Good night, Mrs. Ernst Weil, wherever you may be located. Keep listening. Fine programming continuing right after Cotolo Chronicles. And there's what you know, all the places to go, 148.ca/Frank, and you want a /Frank, you know. Or you could go to where else? CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Anywhere the heck else you want. Good night, Mrs. Ernst Weil, wherever you may be located. We'll be back when we can, as long as all this crap still works. Anytime something can go wrong, Murphy's Law takes us away. In the meantime, I'll leave you now. I've said a lot of things over the years, and even now. But right now, I have nothing more to say.